Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, December the 4th. Pope Francis calls for peace in Palestine, Myanmar and Ukraine. Investigators allege that Ukrainian children have been stripped of their Ukrainian identity and placed with Russian families. And in his first catechesis for Advent this year, Pope Francis discusses the evangelizing work of the Holy Spirit in the preaching of the Church's ministers. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. At his weekly general audience today, Pope Francis once again stressed the need to pray for peace. He reiterated that war is a human defeat and said that it does not solve problems. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
La guerra è cattiva. La guerra distrugge. Preghiamo per i paesi in guerra. Non dimentichiamo la martoriata Ucraina. Non dimentichiamo la Palestina, Israele, Myanmar.
Amid ongoing conflicts around the world, Pope Francis warned that war is evil and that it destroys. He specifically prayed for martyred Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, and Myanmar.
Tanti bambini morti, tanti innocenti morti. Preghiamo perché il Signore ci faccia arrivare alla pace.
He lamented how in each of these countries there are many children dead, many innocent people dead. Pope Francis renewed his call for peace, encouraging everyone to pray always. Let us pray, the Pope said, so that the Lord may bring us to peace. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
We heard there about Pope Francis's prayers for Ukraine. The Pope has appealed for Ukraine at almost every single general audience since the beginning of the war and has often prayed for Ukrainian children in particular. Stefan Boss has this report on the fact that investigators have recently alleged that Ukrainian children were stripped of their Ukrainian identity and placed with Russian families.
As fighting intensifies ahead of possible peace negotiations, a U.S. State Department-backed investigation has identified 314 Ukrainian children taken to Russia in the early months of the war in Ukraine. Researchers say it was part of a systematic Kremlin-funded program to Russify them. Yale's School of Public Health, which conducted the research, said Russian presidential aircraft and funds were used in a program that took children from occupied Ukrainian territories. They were allegedly stripped of their Ukrainian identity and placed with Russian families. In March 2023, the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, and his child rights commissioner, Maria Lvova-Belova, for the alleged war crime of deportation of Ukrainian children. However, in a previous interview, Lvova-Belova denied wrongdoing. They thanked our soldiers for saving, helping and not abandoning them, for getting them out of the airstrikes, she says. Since when do words of gratitude constitute propaganda? Those are ordinary, sincere human emotions. No one has been forced to take Russian citizenship, as Ukraine often claims. Yet her words have done little to convince those searching for their children from Ukraine, which insisted on Tuesday that membership of the NATO military alliance was the only real guarantee for its security. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has even suggested putting territories he controls under the NATO umbrella, while a diplomatic solution could be found for Russian-occupied regions. However, foreign ministers from the alliance sidestepped Kiev's push for an invitation at their meeting ahead of Donald J. Trump's return to the U.S. presidency. However, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte said they would continue providing Kiev with military aid, as in his words, peace talks have to be done from a position of strength.
I would say more military aid and less discussions on what a peace process could look like. You and I are smart enough to think of many ways how to deal with that, but we have to bring Ukraine to that position that it can start, and it can only start when they are in a position of strength.
There is concern among critics that this approach will mean more bloodshed in a war that has already killed and injured hundreds of thousands of people. And as the near three-year-long armed conflict continues, many Ukrainian children will soon face another Christmas without their biological parents. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And Ukraine was also on the agenda this morning at a meeting between the Pope and Hungarian PM Viktor Orbán. Pope Francis held a 35-minute meeting with the Prime Minister of Hungary, together with a delegation which included his wife and the Hungarian ambassador to the Holy See, Edward Habsburg. The Pope and the Hungarian PM last met in Rome at a private audience in 2022, shortly after Orbán was elected for a fourth time to his office. After the general audience, the Hungarian leader, whose country has held the EU Council presidency since July, met with the Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin, accompanied by Monsignor Miroslav Wokovci, Under Secretary for Relations with States. During that meeting, according to the Vatican Press Office, there was a solid and fruitful bilateral discussion about the relations between the two countries. And what was highlighted was, again, quoting, the sincere appreciation for the commitment of the Catholic Church to promoting the development and well-being of Hungarian society, end quote. And the statement explained that the focus was especially on the war in Ukraine, paying attention to its humanitarian consequences and efforts to promote peace. Other topics of mutual interest were also discussed, including Hungary's presidency of the European Council, the central role of the family in society, and the protection of younger generations. Now, we heard a moment ago about the Pope's prayers for Ukraine. He also prayed about the situation in Myanmar. Phoebe Martel has the latest about the situation on the ground there.
The civilian death toll in the Myanmar civil war has reached 6,000, said the United Nations Human Rights Council, UNHRC, in a statement on Tuesday. Since February 2021, when the military seized power in a coup and sent democratically elected Prime Minister Aung San Suu Kyi into exile, the Southeast Asian nation has been embroiled in conflict. Armed rebel groups and ethnic militias are engaged in combat with the military junta, which carries out indiscriminate attacks and roundups on civilian populations. There are now 6,000 reminders that the international community is failing the people of Myanmar, end quote, the UNHRC press release said, calling on governments to bolster aid to humanitarian organizations and impose harsher sanctions on the junta. According to the report, nearly 2,000 of these casualties took place in military custody, with many victims being tortured to death and burned alive. At the same time, 21,000 Burmese have been arbitrarily detained since the February 2021 coup, which set off widespread protests. Unlawful killings by junta forces are common and characterized by their brutality and inhumanity, said the UNHRC. I'm Phoebe Martel.
Pope Francis met today with the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth as they celebrate their 150th anniversary. Drawing on this jubilee, the Pope invited all Catholics to live the 2025 Jubilee of Hope as a special moment to open our hearts to Christ. Devin Watkins has more.
Jubilees are a precious time for taking stock of our lives, both as individuals and as communities. Pope Francis offered that invitation on Wednesday as he met with the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth to celebrate the 150th anniversary of their foundation. He prayed that this milestone in the congregation's life may spur them to be spiritually renewed so that they might better serve the Lord and His people. The Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth were founded in 1875 and serve in 140 communities in 14 countries, according to their website. The Pope noted that the congregation's 150th anniversary celebrations begin with Advent, calling the liturgical season a time of patient and hope-filled expectancy in the Lord's promises. I pray, he said, that your celebrations will help the members of your congregation to grow in contemplative trust in the incarnate Son of God, especially in the Blessed Sacrament and in the people you serve. Pope Francis added that all jubilees are opportunities for reflection, recollection, and listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. Through hearts open to the Lord and to a genuine personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, he prayed, may your communities always be thresholds through which those families that are the focus of your charism can find refuge, hope, and peace in Christ. The Pope went on to recall the many contemporary families who are ravaged by war or forced to flee their homes or even homelands. He urged the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth to always perform spiritual and corporal works of mercy. May your prayer and practical works of charity always reflect the love of Jesus, concluded Pope Francis, so that you may be signs of hope to those experiencing hardships of any kind. I'm Devin Watkins.
And speaking of the Jubilee, a solemn prayer was held recently in St. Peter's Basilica, marked by the sound of a hammer and a chisel breaking through a wall to retrieve the box containing the key which, on the evening of December the 24th, will allow Pope Francis to open the holy door and inaugurate the Jubilee. The ceremony heightened the sense of anticipation here in Rome around the opening of the Jubilee, on Christmas Eve. It was called the Ignitio, and it's the Latin term for that rite, which is performed to confirm that the holy door, sealed at the end of the last Jubilee, remains intact and is ready to be reopened for the new holy year. And finally, turning to our last story today, in continuing his cycle of catechises on the Holy Spirit as bride, Pope Francis dedicated his Wednesday general audience, the first of this Advent season, to the evangelizing work of the Holy Spirit in the preaching of the Church's ministers. Francesco Mollo reports.
Pope Francis, addressing the faithful in St. Peter's Square, emphasized two key elements of Christian preaching. Its content, the Gospel, and its means, the Holy Spirit. He explained that the word Gospel in the New Testament has two meanings. The good news proclaimed by Jesus during his life, and after Easter, the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. This, the Pope noted, forms a foundation of Christian preaching. As Peter wrote, "I am not ashamed of the Gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes."
Io non mi vergogno del Vangelo perché è potenza di Dio per la salvezza di chiunque crede.
Pope Francis highlighted that preaching must always begin with the proclamation of Christ's actions for humanity, avoiding the error of prioritizing law over grace. He stressed the importance of the kerygma, the proclamation of the Gospel, as a basis for all moral teaching.
Sulla prima delle due cose, cioè sul kerygma, o proclamazione.
Turning to the means of preaching, the Pope said it must be delivered with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to convey both conviction and power. He advised preachers to limit their sermons to 10 minutes, focusing on one idea, one sentiment, and one action.
I predicatori devono predicare una idea, un affetto e un invito a fare.
Finally, the Pope urged preachers to rely on the Holy Spirit, not preach themselves, and prioritise community over personal initiatives. He prayed for the Church to effectively proclaim the Gospel to today's world. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The Council of Cardinals, or C9, the working group composed of 9 cardinals that assists and advises Pope Francis, has met for its December session. On the agenda were the topics of collegiality in the Church, the role of women, the recent synod here in Rome, the implementation of the Apostolic Constitution Predicato Evangelium, which came out a few years ago, the role of nuncios in the worldwide church, and the concerns and hopes for the global reality amid crises and conflicts. That's according to a note from the Vatican Press Office. That's all we have time for on this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on all of these other stories, please visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. Many thanks go as ever to Daniele Giorgi in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.